The Ticket. Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
On this eve of the Big Ten Championship game, we started your preview of tomorrow's game with a trip behind enemy lines and got Purdue's perspective on the game. Now let's get the offensive perspective. Here is Sam Webb and Al Borges.
Al, what is your biggest concern with Purdue?
Well, they're going to be sound defensively because Ron English coaches him. And I work with Ronnie and I know him well. He's a good friend of mine. And they're going to be in the right place. Now, I don't know if they're going to match at the end of the day. I don't know if the matchup is going to be in their favor, because if Michigan would have to kind of screw it up to lose to Purdue, I think. I know offensively they have a really good passing game, which could be an issue. But again, the way we're playing now and with the confidence that we're taking into this game, I'm having trouble envisioning the Purdue, what do they call them, Sam? The spoiler makers, because mm-hmm. they beat teams when they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. But they don't beat teams when they shouldn't when it's a championship game. Because Purdue has had a few of those kinds of games, but they've always been trap games in the middle of the year where guys just, they got blindsided and Purdue played their butts off. But in this game, I'm having trouble envisioning an unmotivated Michigan team.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go ahead. I agree. There's no way they overlook it. This is just as focused a team as I've seen Michigan have.
Yeah, all right. No trap games in the championship, Sam.
All right. Fans can look ahead, even if coaches can't. What would be the game plan? What would the game plan look like that beats Georgia?
Well, I got to look at them. I mean, if we get to that point, we'll have studied it all and we'll tell you in detail. But I'm going to say this: if they're not balanced, if they get the run game taken away, there's going to be issues. As long as they can, contain them offensively, because they are dangerous, they just didn't do a year ago, and they never really got into their plan. Remember, Sam, they never got into their plan. They never got to use defensively Aiden and Ajabo, and because they weren't in enough situations where they could use their pass rush, So it's keep it in balance, and after that, we'll give you the details later on.
Yeah, this Marcus Ellis says, Sam, I love Caesar, but Olu Timi may be the best center we've had here in years. Here's what I say. Caesar was good. Caesar was really good. Yeah. Caesar was athletic. I think Olu is better at the point. And Caesar is really good at the point. First round draft pick, right? I think Olu is better at the point of attack, man. And Al aptly pointed out, it's something that us novices would miss. And he's like, Sam, you see him? You see Olu tap Keegan on the side. He made a triple call here. I say, what's that, Al? He said, yeah, he sees number 33 in the game. He knows there's going to be movement with this look, and he made him zone it off on the backside. And I checked it. I went, like I like to do, like check and see if it's right. And this dude, I hate to blow his head up more, he called it exactly right. That highlights two things: that Al is the real deal, which we already knew. Right. But it also highlights the fact they scouted the hell out of Ohio State.
Yeah.
They knew 33 was in the game, that the different things that they did, what did Gus kept calling them, two thumbs or something like that. They knew when he was in the game and he was lying and he was in a certain alignment, exactly what they were going to do. Olu peeped it, made a call, made a check, whatever you want to call it. And he was that was the reason that touchdown sprung.
Yeah, as one of my players once told me, he said, Coach, I know what time it is. And when they saw him in the game, they knew what time it was. And it was time for a triple call. And like I said, we detail that in the film study. But that was Olu. There's just so many things that guy does that you aren't going to notice unless you're a true aficionado.
Yeah. Brian T. Wetzel said, I was nervous that first half. Rushing yards were atrocious in the first half. Do you think that was the game plan, or was JJ seeing the defense and taking what was open? So go ahead, Al.
I think a little of both, but they hit a few runs, but there were a couple runs that I really felt had a shot. The insert zone where he tripped on Loveland, I thought that play had a shot. Now, there was a safety that went with him in man-to-man coverage that was in there, but if it's a healthy Corum, forget about it.
Those were back-to-back plays. You're talking about the second drive. For folks who want to go back and watch the tape, because we didn't put this in the film study, but it's the second drive, and it's two straight runs, and they're both – one was hit for like a yard or two. The second was hit for like a yard or two.
Yeah,
and I think that was
going. Yeah, the second one was a power play. And the power play, the way it was blocked, it was gonna hit on track, and then it was going to come back in behind Olu, who fell off and overblocked the linebacker, and a cavity opened up on a cutback. You could drive a semi through. But, you know, I'm not bad-mouthing the backs, because they're not playing every week. These guys had, you know, that was an easy deal. But with the guys that have been doing it, those would have showed up. Those runs would have showed up, I believe.
Yeah, I think that was a key moment in the game for Michigan offensively on two fronts. They knew they had to play Donovan. I mean, it was abundantly clear with those two plays. Like, the commentators would have you believe that Ohio State was just stuffing them. BS. There were plays there. The insert that Al talked about, if it's Donovan or Blake, very likely at least a 20 or 30 yard run, if not a touchdown, because we saw Donovan outrun an angle on a safety later in the game. So who's to say he wouldn't do the same thing on that play with the kind of running start he would have had breaking to the outside? But the second play was even bigger. Like Al pointed out, there was a cutback lane so huge that it's a guarantee. Either one of those backs see that cutback, which they would have, it is a touchdown. It is there. And so they had to see at that moment, with those two plays back-to-back left on the field, we got to play Donovan. Now, not knowing if Donovan was going to be able to give him what he eventually gave him, right? Which at that point tells you, this is it. If you didn't know it was a JJ game before this, it's definitely a JJ game now, Allen. You saw the young fella really do his thing after that.
He did. Yeah, he did. They burnt their ships. What they had left, they used, and it came through when they needed it the most. And remember, no, there wasn't great rushing in the first half, and I pointed that out in the bitter. But there's two halves to a football game, and a lot of times a superior rushing team will show up more in the second half than they do the first, and I think that was what happened in this one.
All right. Let's go to another one. Al, what did Illinois do so well against Michigan?
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
We gotta refer him to the last
film study.
Yeah, last film study. I'll mention it again. Illinois gets out of bed playing man to man, right, Zam? They get out of bed going playing man to man. That's when they show up the first day of practice. They play man to man, okay, and they play man to man from single high looks and load the box from their single high looks with the ability to blow safeties out of the core and play two deep, which is highly unusual. But that gives them the ability to load the box. And when they load the box, they're very good at run blitzing, and that's really it. They were able to play man-to-man on the back end, sit on cuts and force downfield throws, which JJ wasn't making in that game, and then shut down all the vertical seams with their rifle blitzes versus the duo play, which coming in that game was by far Michigan's favorite play. Mm-hmm.
That's a great game. It was a great game plan. You take away, you do your best to take away their two best run plays. Take away what they do best to see if they can adjust. So they blew up duos, they blew up counters.
Right.
And see if Michigan can adjust to that, especially with the pressure that we're going to put on them on the outside. Now, it didn't matter as much when it's Blake, we said during the film study. It doesn't matter if you load the box against Blake Corum. He's going to make one guy miss, run through the second guy, and outrun the third guy.
Get the play started, Sam. Just don't get him hit in the backfield. Get the play started, and he's going to make something happen. So, but here's the deal. And again, we've talked about this a ton. Is is that was Illinois' culture. That's how they play. They didn't just play that way against Michigan. They played that way in every football game, where Ohio State played many of the same coverages, but they didn't play like that every game.
Right. They and even in the box, in the box, one of the things you point out, look, Illinois was taking out Michigan's blockers. They weren't able to get to the second level. No. Right. So it was just, it's a better defense. Illinois is a better defense. Let's just start there. They are more physical and they're a better defense. Are they more talented from 1 through 11 or however many defensive players they have on their roster? Not. No. But are they a better defensive unit? Yes. Are they a better coach? Are they a better coach defensive unit? Absolutely. That's why you see Ryan Walters up for the Broyles Award.
But Sam, understand that that is how they play. You know what I mean? That is how they play. And add to that, their offense is a major running team. You know, they run the football. And that tends to toughen your defense up, too. So I think that's a factor.
Make no mistake, I think Michigan beats them again if they play Illinois. But I'd be more nervous about that game than I am the Purdue game. I'd be more nervous about that game than, frankly, from an offensive perspective. I mean, that would worry me more than playing Ohio State. Now,
I told you before the game.
Right.
What did I tell you before the game? I said, this team is going to be a pain in the ass defensively because what they do is going to make it harder for Michigan.
And that's exactly what they did. You called it, Al. You called it. All right. Let's go ahead and get to the next question, Al. This one from Wee Bean Co., who says, Al, what changed since the last 5-6 games to suddenly allow this dynamic pass offense? Was it better wide receiver play, better JJ play, or just basically Ohio State being terrible at defense? All of the above. What do you say, Al?
Well, the passing game kind of came to life in this game because it has not been particularly good in the last 3 games. But what came to life is J.J. McCarthy and turning him loose a little bit, letting him do what he does, his improv skills. You know, when the structure of the play wasn't exactly how you draw on the board, his ability to improv and keep plays alive and run for first downs, do those kinds of things, you know. But quite frankly, the receivers were more open, okay? The receivers were more open in this game than I've seen them all year. Sam, what game, going back all the way to Colorado State and some of the early opponents, when have the receivers been as open as they've been in this game?
They haven't been.
So, no, they haven't been. So that's what I'm saying is that's a huge part of it, the double moves, CJ's run after catch. You know, there's a lot of things that showed up in this game that just hadn't showed up in other games.
Yeah. So this one is right up here. Shadyville says JJ has to get some accuracy things under control. He was really good in this game, but when he goes back, knowing JJ, knowing how he is, he'll look at the things that he missed and he'll want to work on those things. But, you know, well, I guess what I get caught up in is not a coach like you, Al. You're hyper focused on the fundamentals, and maybe you can hone those to a degree in season. I feel like some of the things that you talk about are really an in the lab thing that, hey, repetition, kind of working on that, drilling that. You know, I'm sure he has his own quarterback coach that he kind of he'll work on drilling some of these things with in the off season. Mm-hmm. But right now, man, just letting him be a ball player.
There's no metamorphosis. No metamorphosis is going to take place at this juncture, but it's something in the offseason that he's got to look at all his past plays and look at what he could have done better and just coach him up that way. But the one thing I think with this kid is you got to let the horse run a little bit. You know what I mean? You got to let him out of the – and that – again, I say that. I don't want to – I'm not talking about turning it into a passing circus because that's not them. That's not what's brought them to 12-0. But there's – what did they do in this game? They threw 7 shots, Sam. 7 shots. That's more than any game the entire season. They hit 3 of them and got 1 pass interference. Now, they got another pass interference later on a 3rd down call, I think, but that wasn't a shot. So if you add that to the equation, I don't know how many yards it yielded. I should have totaled them. But if you had the 15-yard penalty, that is a huge part of their game. And what that means is they're giving him a chance to come off play passes and early downs and take the ball down the field at more frequency than they've been doing in the past.
More with Sam Webb and Al Borges on the other side of the break here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series or bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.